Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. We're concluding, I guess this is number 12 in the Minor Prophets, our series on Minor Prophets for Interesting Times with Zechariah. And we're in chapter 2 now, so let's jump right back into the text, and then we'll see what our good friend Matthew Henry. Just a note before we do that on Matthew Henry, I'm using his concise commentary. So, it's brief and it's doable in the time that we have allotted for this. He does have his regular commentary, which goes into a lot more depth if you need more information. Okay, back to the text. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 1. I lifted up my eyes again, and looked, and behold a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. The son of David, even the man Christ Jesus, whom the prophet sees with a measuring line in his hand, is the master builder of his church. God notices the extent of his church. He will take care that whatever number of guests are brought to the wedding supper, there shall be room. This vision means well to Jerusalem. The walls of a city, as they defend it, so they straiten its inhabitants. But Jerusalem shall be extended as freely as if it had no walls at all, yet shall be as safe as if it had the strongest walls. In the church of God, there is yet room for other multitudes, more than man can number. None shall be refused who trusts in Christ. And he never shuts out from heaven one true member of the church on earth. God will be a wall of fire around them, which can neither be broken through or undermined, nor can it be assailed without danger to those who attack. This vision was to have its full accomplishment in the gospel church, which is extended by admitting the Gentiles into it, and which has the Son of God for its prince and protector, especially in the glorious times yet to come. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoilt you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they will be a spoil to their servants, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. If God will build Jerusalem for the people and their comfort, they must inhabit it for him and his glory. The promises and privileges with which God's people are blessed should engage us to join them, whatever it costs us. When Zion is enlarged to make room for all God's Israel, it is the greatest madness for any of them to stay in Babylon. The captivity of a sinful state is by no means to be continued in. Though a man may be easy in worldly matters, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Christ has proclaimed that deliverance to the captives, which he has himself wrought out, and it concerns every one to resolve that sin shall not have dominion over him. Those who would be found among God's children must save themselves from this world. What Christ will do for his church shall be an evident proof of God's care and affection. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. This is a strong expression of God's love to his church. He takes what is done against her as done against the tenderest part of his eye, to which the least touch is of great offense. Christ is sent to be the protector of his church. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Here is a prediction of the coming of Christ in human nature. Many nations in that day would renounce idolatry, and God will own those for his people who join with him, who join him with purpose of heart. Glorious times are foretold as the prophecy of our Lord's coming and kingdom. God is about to do something unexpected and very surprising, and to plead his people's cause, which had long seemed neglected. Silently submit to his holy will, and patiently wait the event, assured that God will complete all his work. He will ere long come to judgment, to complete the salvation of his people, and to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel showed Joshua, the high priest, to Zechariah in a vision. Guilt and corruption are great discouragements when we stand before God. By the guilt of the sins committed by us, we are liable to the justice of God. By the power of sin that dwells in us, we are hateful to the holiness of God. Even God's Israel are in danger on these accounts. But they have relief from Jesus Christ, who is made of God to us both righteousness and sanctification. Joshua, the high priest, is accused as a criminal, but is justified. When we stand before God to minister to him or stand up for God, we must expect to meet all the resistance Satan's subtlety and malice can give. Satan is checked by one that has conquered him and many times silenced him. Those who belong to Christ will find him ready to appear for them when Satan appears most strongly against them. A converted soul is a brand plucked out of the fire by a miracle of free grace, therefore shall not be left a prey to Satan. Joshua appears as one polluted, but is purified. He represents the Israel of God, who are all as an unclean thing, till they are washed and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Israel now were free from idolatry, but there were many things amiss in them. There were spiritual enemies warring against them, more dangerous than any neighboring nations. Christ loathed the filthiness of Joshua's garments, yet did not put him away. Thus God, by his grace, does with those whom he chooses to be priests to himself. The guilt of sin is taken away by pardoning mercy, and the power of it is broken by renewing grace. Thus Christ washes those from their sins in his own blood, whom he makes kings and priests to our God. Those whom Christ makes spiritual priests are clothed with the spotless robe of his righteousness and appear before God in that. And with the graces of his Spirit, which are ornaments to them, the righteousness of the saints, both imputed and implanted, is the fine linen, clean and white, with which the bride, the Lamb's wife, is arrayed. Joshua is restored to former honors and trusts. The crown of the priesthood is put up on him. When the Lord designs to restore and revive religion, he stirs up prophets and people to pray for it. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For, behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. All whom God calls to any office he finds fit or makes so, the Lord will cause the sins of the believer to pass away by his sanctifying grace, and will enable him to walk in newness of life, as the promises made to David often pass into promises of the Messiah. So the promises to Joshua look forward to Christ, of whose priesthood Joshua's was a shadow. Whatever trials we pass through, whatever services we perform, our whole dependence must rest on Christ, the branch of righteousness. He is God's servant, employed in his work, obedient to his will, devoted to his honor and glory. He is the branch from which all our fruit must be gathered. The eye of his Father was upon him, especially in his sufferings. And when he was buried in the grave, as the foundation stones are underground, out of men's sight, but the prophecy rather denotes the attention paid to this precious cornerstone. All believers from the beginning had looked forward to it in the types and predictions. All believers after Christ's coming would look to it with faith, hope, and love. Christ shall appear for all his chosen as the high priest when before the Lord, with the names of all Israel graven in the precious stones of his breastplate. When God gave raiment to Christ to be brought through the grace, to be brought through grace to glory, then he engraved this precious stone. By him sin shall be taken away, both the guilt and the dominion of it. He did it in one day, that day in which he suffered and died. What should terrify when sin is taken away? Then nothing can hurt, and we sit down under Christ's shadow with delight and are sheltered by it. And gospel grace, coming with power, makes men forward to draw others to it. Indeed. Chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Zechariah. And the angel that talked with me came again, and waked me, as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace unto it. The prophet's spirit was willing to attend, but the flesh was weak. We should beg of God that, whenever he speaks to us, he should awaken us, and we should then stir up ourselves. The church is a golden candlestick, or lamp-bearer set up for enlightening this dark world, and holding forth the light of divine revelation. The two olive trees were seen, one on each side of the candlestick, from which oil flowed into the bowl without ceasing. God brings to pass his gracious purposes concerning his church, without any art or labor of man. Sometimes he makes use of his instruments, yet he needs them not. This represented the abundance of divine grace for the enlightening and making holy of the ministers and members of the church, and which cannot be procured or prevented by any human power. The vision assures us that the good work of building the temple should be brought to a happy end. The difficulty is represented as a great mountain, but all difficulties shall vanish and all the objections be got over. Faith will remove mountains and make them plains. Christ is our Zerubbabel. Mountains of difficulty were in the way of his undertaking, but nothing is too hard for him. What comes from the grace of God may, in faith, be committed to the grace of God, for he will not forsake the work of his own hands. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, Nay, no, my Lord. Then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The exact fulfillment of scripture prophecies is a convincing proof of their divine original. Though the instruments be weak and unlikely, yet God often chooses such to bring about great things by them. Let not the dawning light be despised. It will shine more and more to the perfect day. Those who despaired of finishing the work shall rejoice when they see Zerubbabel giving directions what to do, and taking care that the work be done. It is a comfort to us that the same all-wise, almighty providence which governs the earth is in particular conversant about the church. All that have the plummet in their hands must look up to the eyes of the Lord, have constant regard to divine providence, act in dependence on its guidance and submission to its disposals. Let us fix our faith on Christ and view him carrying on his work according to his own glorious plan and daily bringing his spiritual building nearer to completion. Zechariah desires to know what are the two olive trees, Zerubbabel and Joshua. This prince and this priest were endued with the gifts and graces of God's Spirit. They lived at the same time, and both were instruments of the work and service of God. Christ's offices of king and priest were shadowed forth by them. From the union of these two offices, this person, from the union of these two offices in his person, both God and man, the fullness of grace is received and imparted. They built the temple, the church of God. So does Christ spiritually. Christ is not only the Messiah, the anointed one himself, but he is the good olive to his church. And from his fullness we receive. And the Holy Spirit is the unction or anointing which we have received from Christ, the olive tree, by the spirit of the olive branch. All the golden oil of grace flows to believers, which keeps their lamps burning. Let us seek, through the intercession and bounty of the Savior, supplies from that fullness which has hitherto sufficed for all his saints, according to their trials and employments. Let us wait on him in his ordinances, desiring to be sanctified wholly in body, soul, and spirit. Zechariah chapter 5. And we will come to Zechariah chapter 5 when we return after some messages. You're listening Across the Border. This is a regular Through the Bible session, and we are going through the minor prophet Zechariah, and we're using Matthew Henry's commentary as our guide. And I chose to do this because Zechariah found somewhat, well, confusing to my mind. And I encourage anyone, when you get to some part of the scripture, I believe that God was on Matthew Henry when he wrote his commentaries, because I found a lot of answers in his commentaries, and so I can rely heavily upon them, and I encourage you to do the same as you're going through the scriptures. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.